Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of our show here from AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station. We're also privileged and honored to be able to be part of the team here at Liberty News Radio Network and have them project our show to their affiliate stations, AM and FM. Simulcasting on the Internet, as always, at thepoliticalcesspool.org and at libertynewsradio.com. If you miss a live show, catch us in the archive. They're readily available to you on demand. Had a great show so far tonight. Keith Alexander and I covered a cornucopia of topics during the first hour. Spent a little time addressing the immigration issue. We've been spending a lot of time talking about that lately during the second hour before we were treated to another great interview with Reverend Ted Pike. Now, for our third and final hour, I welcome back to the studio my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And, Eddie, you got some stuff lined up for us this evening.
Yes, I do, James.
I'm really proud
to have this third hour. You know, for the people listening out there, I'd like to let these people know in the Tea Parties and the Oath Keepers, what I term the Patriot Movement, I don't know personally of another media venue in the United States that has afforded these people the opportunity to come on to a radio station like Radio Liberty, like Radio News, Liberty News Radio, and to come out where we have AM and FM stations available for them. And I'm just hoping these people will appreciate what we're doing. And I'm not saying this with any spite or anything, but, you know, the political cesspool has survived a long time and grown, James, without the Patriot Movement. And I'm glad, you know, I'm a member of the Patriot Movement. But I'm hoping that these people do respect us and will appreciate what we're doing. And the reason I say that, James, is because you may not know this, but I've been catching a lot of flack from some people in the Patriot community talk about us being racist and things like that. And it's starting to kind of wear old. And James, you can vouch for me, James. Do you know of a bigger supporter, of a bigger cheerleader for the Patriot community than me? I've been the cheerleader for these people, but I've had several phone calls lately, people trying to distance themselves from us because of some statements put out by the mainstream media, and I pointed out to them that, the same people that are disking us are disking people like Rand Paul and Ron Paul and the very Tea Parties that they're involved in. So, but with that, James, I'm going to go ahead and go on to our guest. I touched base with him today around 2:30, and he's supposed to call in around 9 o'clock. I hope he's on now. His name is Walter Reedy. That's R-E-D-D-Y. And, James, one thing that's kind of unusual about this man, he's from one of the blue states. He's from Connecticut, and that's about as blue a state as you can get. He's reconstituted himself. He was single-handedly reconstituted the old colonial days committees of safety. And, I've done some research on that. And in the old days, before we had, a constitutional government, before we fought the British, they were, the colonists were in the process of gradually trying to come over to a more autonomous type of government, governing themselves. And so the committees of safety, they were put into place to kind of bridge between the rule of the crown, of the crown of England, to more of a rule of the people, by the people. And they predated the representative republic that we gained with the Constitution. But Walter Reedy was single-handedly reconstituted this thing, and it's kind of, and Walter will be the first to tell you Walter will let you know that Jack McLamb, well, a friend of ours, James, who's been on the Cesspool,
made several appearances on this show, as has Dr. Edwin Vieira.
He sure has. And you know what? Jack McLamb, I give him the credit. He actually had Oath Keepers before Oath Keepers was cool. He started the organization called the Police and Military Against the New World Order. And I think he started that about 25 or 26 years ago. Well, recently, Walter Reedy cranked up this Committee of Safety in along with some other really heavy hitters. He's been rubbed elbows with Ron Paul, Rand Paul, Dr. Edwin Vieira, D.B. Kidd, and a lot of other folks, James, that I can't name, I can't mention. And anybody, to me, anybody that participates in trying to take their country back from this criminal government we have in Washington, D.C., I count them as a hero. Some people just get more publicity than others. But Walter brought these people in. Were it not for Walter, probably Stuart Rhodes. Stuart Rhodes is the founder of Oath Keepers. But without Walter coming in and affording him the opportunity to participate in the very first Committees of Safety meetings in Connecticut, Stuart would have, if he'd got his organization going, he probably would have had a lot harder time. There's also some other very well-known people, James, by the name of Sheriff Mack. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but Sheriff Mack was a constitutional sheriff in Arizona, of all places. And Sheriff Mack challenged the Brady Bill and took it all the way to the Supreme Court and won. He won the case out there. He stood up for states' rights and county rights all the way. And I'll give you a little. One thing I like about this Committee of Safety, the modern-day reconstitution of it, James, it's their base, their philosophy is the same as mine. You've heard me say, James, that I've pretty much written off the federal government, the general government. They become so corrupt, and they become so in bed with the international industrialist and banking cabal that they are so indebted to them, they can't survive without that money coming from those organizations, from those groups. And they also, James, we talked about this before. We've had guests on that talked about how corrupt sexually the Congress is in Washington, D.C. That's why a lot of people, including myself, like we call Washington, D.C. the Sodom on the Potomac. And I think that name fits very well. They're just totally unreachable by us people. And you've also heard me talk again, James. I know Rand Paul won that election in Kentucky, and if you want to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of surprised. Although I knew he had the power of the people behind him. I knew he had the majority of the people pulling for him. But with the way the voter fraud is now with these voting machines, I think Keith was talking about that with the. With Esley, we had one of our followers and fans from Utah the last time he came through to see us. They were talking about the voter fraud with the machines. I don't believe we're ever going to be able to really overthrow this, this corrupt system and get back to a constitutional system unless we can get rid of these voter machines and, go back to a paper ballot. And actually, I would prefer an oral ballot, is having elections on the county and town level. Like the committees of safety, they work on the philosophy of all government should be the closest to the people the government can get, the better. The further away government is from the people, James, the more representation we lose. That's why we've lost so much, power and so much representation with the federal government. But that's what they operate on. And another thing, and this is dear to my heart, James, what Dr. Edwin Vieira is famous for? He's famous for, creating a blueprint, a mass blueprint. He spent years drawing it up and researching the Constitution. Dr. Edwin Vieira is one of the, he's on the board of the Committees of Safety. And, he wants to reconstitute the constitutional militia of the several states. And when I say that, the constitutional militia of the several states, what I mean is it is a legal militia, a militia under law. The rule of law, not the rule of men. I'm going to make myself perfectly clear. I'm not talking about some private army or private militia run by some tin horn, you know, pot-bellied, bureaucrat someplace in some little county. This the militias that Dr. Edwin Vera envisioned are the same way they were organized in the original days, you know, the founding fathers, before we even had a representative republic under the Constitution.
Eddie, hold that thought. I hear our music. We got to take a break. We're going to come back, though.
Okay.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Third hour. James Edwards here with you, and of course joined by my co-host Eddie the Bombardier Miller. In that last segment, Eddie gave our guest this hour perhaps the longest introduction in the history of the Political Cesspool Radio program. It was a 15-minute introduction, but I must
well,
say,
you know, I do
very
kind
deserving
of tend to get
so,
kind of, I have been accused
great
of being
gentleman on
long-winded every now and then,
who rubs elbows with
but listen, I'm just going to give Walter another brief. I'm going to introduce him because, like
in,
you say, I gave him a very long
so,
introduction.
Eddie,
Walter, if you will, just come out and kind of give us your thing, son, and tell us about why you started the organization, and you know how you did it. Kind of the nuts and bolts of how you did it, and maybe some of the big hitters. I've already mentioned some of them, but I'm going to turn you loose, Walter. I'm turning the ball back to you, and we also have Lee Cochran, our good friend. He's going to ask a few questions.
Oh, great!
I'm turning it loose to you.
Well, thank you. It started 3 years ago. I met Dr. Edwin Vieira up in New Hampshire, and he had just written his most recent book, Constitutional Homeland Security, which I found very exactly what you know I had been trying to do for years. 15 years prior to that, I was trying to living in New York State at the time. I was trying to revitalize the Orange County Militia. Some of my family had settled there years ago, and they were part of the Orange County Militia during the Revolutionary War. So I was just pretty blown away by the depth that he had gone through in researching the historical part of the colonial and then state militia. And so for the what we had done, we originally had a meeting up in Concord. We were calling it the Citizens Homeland Security Association, and we didn't get a lot of people within the Patriot community. They heard that word Homeland Security, and immediately they didn't differentiate between the Department of or Citizens. So I had thought of an idea, you know, knowing that the committees of safety, the original committees of safety started by Samuel Adams up there in Boston, was pretty appropriate, and it would basically, I had changed the name. That was about almost three years ago now. And, so since then we've started up meetings in almost all 50 states. It's a grassroots organization. I'm sorry I missed the intro, so I don't know how much backstory you've given on this. But
hey, that's okay, Walter. That's quite all right. Don't worry about missing that intro.
Okay, it's all grassroots. It's from the bottom up. What we're doing right now, we've kind of modified it as we're going along. What we're really focusing on now is we're reaching out a lot to our veterans, which are, when they took that oath, you know, it was a lifetime oath, and we need them now. Critical. It's critical that we have, we're hoping to get our veterans involved in this, this plan we have here. There's historical and precedent to it. George Washington had been part of the Virginia Colonial Militia prior to our founding of the country, really, that before the, you know. Many of the ones that that during the American Revolution were also veterans from the French and Indian War 20 years prior. So that's going to be a key part of our plan. We've reached out. What we're really doing is we're reaching out to our state legislators, and a lot of them are very comfortable with that. What we want to do is revitalize the state militia, the militia of the several states, the way the Constitution describes it. We haven't had that state militia functioning properly in over 100 years now, since 1903. It is not the National Guard. There might be a lot of disinformation. There's many out there that think of the Army National Guard as the militia, which it's not. The state legislators that we've spoken to, a lot of them like this idea. They'll be elected. The officers, many of them that have experience and skills, would be elected by the people within the towns, the counties, within that structure. We're in Connecticut, and this is where it differs a little bit. Yeah, we're asking our volunteers to look at their town charters or county charters, and a lot of the town selectmen or city councilmen have that authority to create whatever boards they want. We want to get up a committee of safety boards. They're like for public safety, and on that we would have a town selectman, maybe the chief law enforcement, which would fire. Emergency medical, and basically it would be a working model for the state to adapt later on, to adapt that model for public natural disasters or natural or man-made disasters. It would function in place of, we wouldn't need then a Department of Homeland Security the way that it's structured now, which is unconstitutional. So that's basically what we're up to right now. So
Walter, so what you're saying is, if I understand you right, yeah, by the way, can you hear me okay, Walter?
I can barely hear you. But
I was afraid that sometimes we have a hard time connection. I'm going to speak louder and slower.
Now, I believe
what you told me, Walter, if I understood it right, and I think, you know, I know something about it anyway. What you're trying to do is get the citizenry, basically, you know, veterans and people like that, you know, retired military, in the form of a constitutional militia involved in the type of organizations you just described, you know, working with the emergency fire services.
Yes, so it would complement our first responders.
Correct.
We're a First Amendment organization. We're advocating for revitalizing the Second Amendment. And it's not an anti-government we're not anti-government. We're not proposing that. We want to reclaim these powers, the full implementation of the Second Amendment. So that's really what our objective is about.
Also, Walter, I've noticed on the website, one of the purposes of the committees of safety is to, if I'm not mistaken, is to regain the power of the purse and the power of the sword. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, those two vital powers are ancient powers that whoever had control of those powers really ruled, were in power. I mean, without those powers, and we want to reclaim those to the people, both those powers, the power of the purse based in gold and silver, monetary system that we want to get in place working within the states. We want to work with our state legislators to write the bill that could implement that.
If you don't mind, hold up right there. I'm sorry to interrupt you. We got a commercial break. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta
get out of this place. All right, everybody, welcome back to our award-winning broadcast, the Political Cesspool Radio Program, the world-famous Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Eddie the Bombardier Miller very generously spelling me a little bit this hour, of course, still battling some sort of infection here. The voice, the mind is willing, the voice is weak, and I'm going to suck on a bottle of Benadryl this weekend and see if we can't beat that and come back to you at full strength next week. But the show itself not missing a beat this hour. Eddie the Bombardier has a great guest on the line. We covered a lot of ground with him in the previous segment. We've got a couple of segments left with him still. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it back over to Eddie for that.
Well, James, I don't know how much you listened to in the break, but Walter and I, and we also have another great member on the line. His name is Lee Cochran. He's one of my go-to men. Anytime I want to know anything at all, especially about the Patriot movement, I always ask Walter Cochran. I mean, I've never asked him a question yet he didn't know. But before we went on the break, I mean, while we were on the break, Walter and I were talking about it. I asked him the question about how one would go about organizing a committees of safety in Memphis, and he was telling us, or any place else for that matter in the United States, and he gave us a brief discourse on some of the people he worked with and what he's getting ready to do on a trip he's getting ready to make. So Walter, I'm going to turn it over to you, and if you will, tell the audience what you told me during the break, Walter, on this trip you're getting ready.
Well, what we're trying to do, the organizers, and it's all volunteer basis. What we're asking the organizers to do is maybe set up some meetings at the local American Legion, VFW. We've built coalitions with a lot of the Tea Party people, John Birch Society, Campaign for Liberty, a lot of the, and so that's what we're doing in Connecticut. I live in Connecticut. We have a really good coalition here of a lot of liberty-minded patriots. We've focused on the 10th Amendment and putting the teeth into the 10th Amendment, which these two powers do. The money and the Second Amendment. So that's basically what we're doing, and I'll be traveling the next in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be doing a tour, and I'd be happy to stop in a certain key cap. We're hitting most of these capitals coming down. Like I said, Dr. Vieira and I will be in Virginia 2 weeks from tomorrow, outside of Richmond, at an American Legion, and we'll be posting more of that on committeesofsafety.org, but I'm discussing a little more of the itinerary, but that's basically the plan right now.
So, and I'm just going to put out the information again in case the people didn't get it, and Walter, don't let me forget before the show's up to give out the website several more times, but
okay.
People, get your pencils ready. That is committeesofsafety.org, and that shouldn't be too hard to remember. If I can remember it, anybody could, because James can verify. I have a sorry memory. But Also, James Walter is going to be traveling with some pretty heavy hitters. He's going to be meeting up with the Wayne Paul, he said, down in Texas. He's the brother of the famous Ron Paul. You want to go over that? What are y'all going to do down there in Texas,
Well, we're working on another project, a sound money system. Wayne's a CPA, a public account. He has a public accounting firm. And he's joining our team with SovereignStateDepository.org, but that we're trying to implement some economic freedom for the people, and it's going to be an electronic currency where you can buy your goods and services online using gold and silver. So you can find out more about that on SovereignStateDepository.com.
And that's, Walter, that's also one of your babies. And did you also get the Sovereign States Depository?
I did. With Scott Silver. Scott's one of my partners. There's going to be seven of us involved in that. And we're just getting it implemented right now. We've got IT team, and there's a lot to it, and we're just getting ready to launch that soon. So we're going to be partnering with one of the mines. We want to keep this gold and silver here in this country, and I'm real excited about that. We'll be able to retain our purchasing power instead of this depreciating currency. It'll monetize this gold and silver. So it's free to sign up. We're getting the applications ready now, working with some lawyers to get the application forms put together. So there'll be more coming on that. But
well, you know, Walter, I don't know if the people really realize just how big that is, what you just the process that you just described. Walter, if we can get the states sovereign enough to have their own economic system with a currency issued based and backed
sound money, based in gold and silver, just like the Constitution states. Article 1, Section 10 says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin tender for debts.
Absolutely.
And there's six states now that have introduced these bills. Dr. Vieira wrote the original one up for New Hampshire 5 years ago, never made it out of committee. The one that has had the most success was Idaho about a month ago. It passed the House side, and we're refining this a little bit. We need the grassroots behind some of these economic security bills. And what we eventually want to do, Dr. Vieira has come up, maybe combining these two powers together, in that where any volunteers that volunteer within the state militia service would also be using this. So we get it implemented into the state, the businesses signing up, and we can start. It would be monetizing this gold and silver, and making it really competing with the current monopoly that the international banking cartel has right now. And there is no.
You know, Walter, you know what you just described.
Monetary system.
What you described was it's the death of the illegitimate criminal Federal Reserve in an international banking system. You know, I believe I've heard some people say, Walter, that what really got John Fitzgerald Kennedy assassinated was the fact that he had an audit of the silver in Fort Knox, where they keep the silver and gold. And if I'm not mistaken, he had silver certificates. He was going to have them issued backed by silver.
Right.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, there were silver certificates, and there may be some truth to that. You know, I mean, that's a vital power that, you know, the powers that be do not want us to reclaim. And That could be a very, I think it probably was one of the factors in him being assassinated.
That's right. And, you know, and I've also, and I can't prove this, but I've read some pretty reliable information, some pretty reliable sites that say that that's the reason that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. They didn't care what he did with the slaves or what he did with the South or anything else. All they cared about was retaining the powers of the purse. They did not want the people to get it.
Well, with that power, you control everything. You can buy anything. You can buy the armies, the military, and everything.
That's right. Anybody, if you have the power just to print money out of thin air, I mean, what they do, what this criminal cabal does, they print the money and flood the system with it. And what they do, they buy up all the assets before the money goes to a zero value. You know, as it always. Matter of fact, Congressman Ron Paul said that never in history has there ever been a government that operated on a fiat currency that kept their currency from reaching zero, you know, value.
Yeah, we're going the same way the Weimar Republic did in the 1920s and Argentina, and it's just economic law that this will come down, this current system, and it's just... It's no question that it will. It's just a matter of when.
We
need something sound and stable to transition into.
We'll
be back
right after these messages. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. One more final segment during tonight's three-hour marathon. James Edwards here with you, kind of serving as ringmaster during this third hour. Thankfully, I have the more than capable Eddie the Bombardier Miller to carry the load this hour as I nurse a little ailing throat here. And, of course, he's got some great guests on as well. Eddie, we got about 10 minutes left in the show. It's all yours to bring in for a landing.
Okay. Listen, speaking to the audience out there, we have a patriot on the line who's called in tonight, and I've specifically invited him to call in. Because his name is Lee Cochran. He's been active in the Patriot community before, way before I was, James. I'm going to kind of pretty much turn it over to him because he's been holding on the line for a long time. He's my backup guy. He's my go-to guy in case one of the guests doesn't call in. And so I'm going to turn it over to Lee Cochran right now. I know of no other a Patriot that's any sounder than him. So, Lee, I know you have some questions you want to ask our honored guest.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Eddie. Walter, I was just wondering, so is the plan to set up these, local community associations
committees of safety and committee of safety boards we're hoping to get set up, yep.
And then then eventually we can go, statewide. It's sort of like an experimental type you see, which works the best in each county
like
and everything.
Yeah, like a template, a model so the state legislators could see it working.
Yeah, because we just need to have grassroots support to have political cover for our state reps and our county people so they can, fulfill their mission to support the Constitution and help our citizenry respond effectively.
Yeah, for public safety and security for that community and your area. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking. Also, this GIVE Act that the president, it has passed. I think he's halfway right, but it needs to be only at the local level and state level, and not at the federal level.
Well, he wants it from the top down. We want it from the bottom up. It's who's going to be in control of it. Are the people going to be in control of it, or is Janet Napolitano and Northcom from the top down? Yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, that's really unfortunate, because I think they've got another agenda before at least the higher ups, instead of protecting the citizens, and we're right here nearest, and we could be the best support. You know, an armed citizenry that's responsible is freedom's best friend.
Yeah, Obama, and many of your listeners probably are aware of that. He called for, this is when he was campaigning, he called for a civilian national
security
force larger than the military itself. Well, yeah, but the question is, who's going to be in control of that? Are we the people and be self-governing again, or are these tyrants from the top down, you know?
Yeah, you know, also there's a lot of, people don't know this, there's a lot of foreign troops in America in some of these closed down bases, and there's even a wing of, I know, the German Air Force in New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about that. If we had 10% of the American people organized and armed, properly trained and armed in the towns and counties and state, 10%, that's 30 million Americans. And the Second Amendment, really, when the founders wrote that bill, it was even more than a right. It was their duty to keep and bear arms. And it was tied to this thing called this organized militia from the towns and the counties and the state. It was their, not just their right, it was their duty. 16 to 60 was the general, they're all through the colonial period, and then after our states were formed. That was a law of the land for almost 300 years in America. And that's what we want to revitalize.
Mm-hmm. And you just be responsible citizens, you know, with our veterans in it. And, yep. You know, it would take less than 1% of a one-year national, defense budget to arm at least 30 million citizens. That's peanuts.
Well, we have those arms. I mean, how many, what do we have, 200 million arms? We just need to be organized in this structure mm-hmm. that the founders laid out. And they made a very clear point. Dr. Edwin Vieira mentions this many times. Out of the whole Constitution, they use the word necessary. One institution that's necessary for it to remain free, and that's found in the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia is necessary for a free state. Okay? Something we do not have functioning today.
Amen.
They didn't say a president. They didn't say any other institution, but this town, county, state militia structure.
Yeah, that would really get people involved, and we're the most motivated. The citizens are the most motivated, and they're most nearest in case of any kind of emergency, and mm-hmm. we can be depended on. And
we
it just fits in the gloves, and we can support our first responders.
Resources we have there, we could, if they had that down at Katrina, they would have saw it ahead of time that those levees were protected and been able to respond and helped out their neighbors and with food, and been, it would have worked much better. Medical units that we could have in that structure that could assist the emergency medical and many different functions within this structure, communications, and many different ones. We have our veterans that have special forces training. We could have units that are like, kind of like the Minutemen were, you know, on a moment's notice. No, we just need to organize, and what we're doing is laying out this template and setting up, working with it. Reach out to our state legislators, educate them on that, our town selectmen or city councilmen, and get them understanding these principles, this structure again.
Yeah, they have nothing to fear. We're just trying to help us as any citizens would want to help.
Right. Well, I know, and everyone has to look at their own town or city council charters, look at your state statutes. Many of them need to be redone to put the structure back in place. So anyone that likes to do this research or has a penchant for that, we could use your help there.
I'm going to chime in just for a second, Lee.
Yeah.
And Walter. You probably don't, the Committee of Safety probably doesn't have the resources right now, but I know it would be nice if they had a kit, kind of like Colonel Bogue Wrights puts out a kit. He
mm-hmm.
was a Green Beret officer.
Right.
He puts out a kit on how to do the things you're talking about as far
yep.
as, organizing people into like a militia. But it would be great if
yeah,
the Committees of Safety could put
yeah,
a kit out.
Yeah, I understand. There weren't any private militia. It was always a town militia structure, county militia, a colonial militia structure. There were never any such thing until the 90s, these private groups that had formed private militias. That's really not what the founders had in mind, these paramilitary. So we would like to put, we're on a very limited budget right now. We would like to put out more packets. That's a great idea. At the funding, we could put something more together like that for organizers.
That would be great.
But many of that anyway, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I was just saying.
Go ahead.
No one realizes how important money is than us on the political cesspool people, because we operate on a shoestring budget ourselves, Walter. Maybe, I'll tell you what, but before we forget, I want you to give your website out.
Eddie, I'll tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to reschedule Walter for an encore appearance. We just didn't quite have enough time with him this evening to cover it all, and you've certainly done a good job in bringing a lot of information to the table in the time that we had. We are flat out of it, though. The time is out of the hourglass. Time to move on for this evening, but on behalf of our guests this evening, Walter Reddy, Reverend Ted Pike, and my co-hosts, Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Keith Alexander, I am James Edwards, and we will see you next week here on the Political Festival, on the Liberty News Radio Network. Until then, remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. God bless you. God keep you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.